Did last night's game have any impact on this decision to make a change?
I think the last 7 weeks did, you know, when you go back and look at it. So it just wasn't one thing last night. Last night was embarrassing, as I stated. You know, we got to do better. Our fans deserve more, and it's unacceptable.
It's a bit from the just concluded press conference.
Yeah.
At the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals training facility in Tempe. Made it official. Obviously, it was official already with the press release, but Steve Wilks facing the media in the hours following the firing of Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. Byron Leftwich will take over. He will take over play calling duties. One of the big things that came out of that, and we'll get into it more, but the use of the word clarity, that there wasn't clarity offensively. And that might speak to what you brought up earlier about just the chaotic...
The noise in the headsets, the voices, the late calls getting him in, the other assistants telling him, get the play in, Mike, come on, get it called. Because once you get it called, there's things that have got to happen. So, and with that in mind, it was a bad hire. Now, is Steve Wilks a bad hire? That's going to be the next question that we have to kind of get to the bottom of. A couple things that really bothered me about last night's game. One on Mike Wilks, second play into the game. Mike Wilks, that's interesting.
Did you go to high school with him?
Mike McCoy. And that would have been the second play of the game, a scripted play, and they had to burn a timeout because they couldn't get guys lined up properly. That, to me, was just like... That's just bad news bears kind of stuff. The other thing, Josh Rosen being in the game, spraining his toe. I guess a sprained toe, given what it could have been, is better than turf toe. Should be okay for next week's game against the 49ers. But to nurse Sam Bradford through training camp to the point where he was excused from the opening conditioning run of the entire training camp... And everything you did was built around nurturing a 36, 34-year-old quarterback, however old Sam was. And then you expose your franchise rookie the way you did last night. That's malfeasance. I'm not real happy about that. That does not make the clarity of the head coach look good. He can talk about the clarity of the offense. I'm talking about the clarity of the head coach. This does not make him look good whatsoever. Now, I don't believe for a second, not one second, that this was Steve Wilks' call. I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe they sat down with Michael Bidwill and Steve Keim, and they said, this is what we're going to do. Do you want to tell him, or do you want us to tell him? And at that point in time, they probably decided, better you do it, coach, because you need the juice. You need the shot of authority right now. So for Steve Wilks to say, this is my decision, I believe he's the one that told Mike McCoy he's fired. Wasn't his decision. No way. Steve Keim came on this radio show or this radio station this morning and came out and said, I'm coming out swinging like hell. And he's going to leave that decision to his head coach. I get it. You've got to empower the head coach.
Look, going into this announcement today, Bick, there was a lot of questions on how much potentially Steve Wilks even wanted Mike McCoy as the offensive coordinator. Forget the guy's
That's
name,
possible.
But he was on with Doug and Wolf, a guy from 104.3, said, you should have seen this coming. You know, it was laid out what Mike McCoy is going to do offensively. You should have seen this coming if you're Arizona. So maybe Mike McCoy wasn't Steve Wilks' decision from the get-go, but I don't know what to believe anymore. It doesn't matter. He's gone.
Did you hear what Steve Keim said about having to call a timeout to avoid a delay of game on the second play from scrimmage?
Yes. Let's refresh. This was Steve Keim with Doug and Wolf today.
When you saw the timeout call on the second play of the game, what were you thinking?
Same thing you were.
And Doug responded by saying, well, I was thinking that means Mike McCoy is going to be gone tomorrow, and Steve Keim didn't really respond.
Really?
That's exactly what happened. From the press conference, Steve Wilks, the head coach of the Cardinals, talked about the relationship between he as a head coach and the position of offensive coordinator.
There's constant communication, as it was with Mike McCoy and myself, exactly what they're doing on that particular side of the ball. I try to stay where my expertise are, which is defense, but I want to know exactly what's going on in all three phases, which I do. My communication with Byron, as well as it was with Mike, is just some of the things that I see when I'm watching tape, you know, and what the defense is doing. I don't really go over there and try to tell them what to call, but I just let them know what I'm seeing.
All right, so Byron Leftwich now gets the duties. He's the offensive coordinator. He is the play caller. Steve Wilks was asked today, is Byron Leftwich the interim offensive coordinator?
I think right now, at this point in time of the year, yes, this is the right call, and that's the reason why I did it.
Is he an interim OC?
Right now, it's hard to say that anybody's going to be permanent.
Yeah, and it really, that's such a pointless designation anyways. He's never been an offensive coordinator. Of course it's interim. He's taking over with 8-9 games left in the season. Dumb question.
But there's a lot of people that don't like the use of the term interim. People in organizations that are forced to employ an interim fill-in-the-blank, they don't really like using that term.
Okay.
Because it looks like an organization.
What if he's horrible? Of course. Okay. I won't get hung up on that.
I mean, Mike McCoy was just basically treated like an interim offensive coordinator. It's all about semantics and title anyway.
No.
You're exactly right.
Now, Steve Wilks just right there said his area of expertise is defense.
This is where it got interesting.
That did get interesting. And he defended the use of the 4-3 scheme.
No, you know, and you guys continue to talk about that because of Buchanan and that guy not being on the field. But you look at the progress that Chandler Jones has made. You look at the things that we've done. You look at what Patrick Peterson has been able to do within the system. So, you know, I thought – and I still feel the same way. Going through the 4-3 was the best thing to do.
No,
and I don't know if there was a full understanding of that question, because it wasn't about the shift to the 4-3. It was about the employment of actually using three linebackers in that 4-3, which is not happening. It happened for 8 snaps last night.
Yeah.
And if you're getting gashed run-wise, which has been the case for much of the year, why not have another linebacker? If one of your three safeties, we talked about it.
Yep.
We weren't alone, Bick. Going into this season, we looked at that safety crew of Baker, Bethea, and Boston and said, that's going to be a strength of this team.
Yeah.
Well, Trey Boston was hurt.
Yeah.
So you're plugging in a guy just to fill in for Trey Boston.
To complete a scheme and not to put the best player on the field. That's not defensive expertise to me. Okay.
And come on. I know Steve Wilks is deflecting that question, and he's under a lot of heat. But to suggest that his scheme change and, you know, playing two linebackers or three linebackers as opposed to four like they did in the past had anything to do with the success of Chandler Jones or Patrick Peterson.
He's pointing out Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson and the success they've had. They would have success running a four-corner stall offense in basketball. I mean, come on. You can't take credit for the success of those guys. Give me somebody else. Give me somebody else who didn't play well last year who's benefiting from this.
You mentioned his comments about clarity, how they need clarity on offense. Here's that cut.
It's not the mere fact of making it easier. And I told Byron this morning. Josh is a very smart and intelligent guy. He can handle a lot. I think it's clarity. That's what we need, and we didn't have that. You know, we got to have clarity in exactly what we're doing in certain situations, so therefore that's where the thinking comes in. So it's not a mere fact of him being smart. He's very intelligent and can pick up a lot, but we got to make sure we have clarity across the board on how.
Other than what we already knew, that McCoy was out and Leftwich taking over, do you have any more clarity on this whole football team?
No, I don't. And I'm going to continue to believe that they're going to tweak the defense, but they're not going to announce that they're tweaking the defense because, look, they're not going to fire Steve Wilks right now. And protocol, perceptually, good form, giving a guy a chance, not making it look like you're petulant like a certain other franchise in town here. Okay. This is smart. Let Byron Leftwich come in, and maybe if he's that good, he'll lift the offense up. But I got news for you. If he's that good, he's going to be your next head coach. So in that regard, it's fine. So you've got to empower Steve Wilks. You've got to make it seem like he's in charge. You can't cut the guy off at the knees because it already looks like the guys in the locker room are in one ear, out the other. Yeah, we've heard this 100 times before. I say it here. I've said this before. If he's lost all this credibility and listenability in the Valley, and believe me, the latter is true, then why would that locker room be any different at 1-6? Really wouldn't be. So what's going to happen here, I believe, is they're going to let Byron Leftwich put this offense back to where it should have been. See if he can do that. Defensively, Deion Buchanan's going to be on the field. I'll tell you that right now. They're going to do something, and he should be. Shame on this defensive scheme to suggest that Deion Buchanan is not as good as Rudy Ford. And they don't play the same position. I get it. But come on. Deion Buchanan was once a hybrid, a prototype for what all NFL defenders were going to be in the future. Yeah, game has changed. That dollar backer, whatever they call it, yeah, it's not the same anymore. But Deion Buchanan is a really good football player. And he cares, and he's passionate, and he can thump people. You can't tell me he can't get on the field.
I mean, I don't feel as strongly about that as you do.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was asking myself earlier this year in a game where Deion Buchanan did play significant snaps, is he any good anymore? I mean, he's had some injury problems. He's obviously struggled in this new role and learning this new system, and he's not alone. I mean, that's pretty almost universal, I would say, judging from the results on both offense and defense, that there's a lot of players on this roster that are just kind of swimming right now. We talk about that in OTAs with rookies. Is your head spinning right now? Are you swimming a little bit? Oh, yeah, there's so much information being thrown at us. This team is going into week 8.
Yep. Yeah.
They've played 11 football games, including the preseason. This looks like week 1 operation kind of crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It really, really does.
The other news that Steve Wilks... we knew this was partially the case already, but officially a sprained left toe is what Steve Wilks said with Josh Rosen. He is in a walking boot, but the head coach does say he believes that Rosen will be ready to go Sunday, since it's a long week of preparation and recuperation for San Francisco next Sunday. So I guess there's a silver lining in all of it, but that goes back to something we talked about earlier in the show. Why was Josh Rosen even exposed in that situation? If you want to keep him in, if you don't want the optics of pulling out your future quarterback, great.
Yep.
There's 2 minutes left and you're down by 5 touchdowns, which is like a month and a half worth of offense for your team right now. Why is he throwing on 4th and long?
It's nonsensical.
To try to get him to 200 yards, which isn't even a benchmark anybody strives for in the NFL.
And how could they, and once again, I don't get how, if you are nurturing and babying Sam Bradford to try to get him through a season, how you can expose your hotshot rookie in a game like that when you're down 35.
I'll tell you what, though, the desperation level since they were trying to shield Sam Bradford from all of that,
yeah,
has gone through the roof.
That's a good point. It's a real good point. The heat on this football team is not going to stop now that Byron Leftwich has been promoted. I'm excited to see Byron Leftwich. I've heard good things about him, but all these rave reviews, I'm backing up off this. Because I heard the same thing about Mike McCoy. I've heard the same thing about Al Holcomb. I'm backing off until I see it. No more blind optimism spoon-fed this guy.
Did you get that on tape, Jarrett?
You got that, Jarrett? No more. No more. Had enough.
That one's going to pop up again.
Had enough.
It feels kind of fitting that we should do this again. Jarrett put together a very moving montage.
Yes, we have to play that
about
again.
The 7 weeks.
Let's do
of,
it.
Of the Mike,
let's do it.
The Mike McCoy era.
This is great.
First of all, I think Mike McCoy is a pretty smart guy and a very adaptable guy.
Mike's an excellent football coach.
He's a genius. He's a genius. He's like, I don't know, some of the stuff we have in the playbook, some of the stuff he draws up, I'm just like, man, where do you get some of this stuff from? Because it's amazing.
DeRozan takes the snap, and they run it. Johnson tackled for a loss up the middle. Loses 2 or 3 yards. Justin Coleman on the stop. Seattle calls its final timeout after an incredibly conservative play call. And Josh Rosen has been fantastic. Let the kid throw the ball on 3rd and 6. Now you're looking at a 45-yard field goal, certainly makeable, but I would have let number 3 make a play there. So you got 3 rookies. Mason Cole, the center. Josh Rosen, the quarterback. And Chase Edmonds stacked one behind the other on the biggest play of the season, 3rd and 2. And they're going to hand it off for Edmonds running left. He is tackled in the backfield at the 45-yard line for a loss by Bilal Nichols. It's a 3-yard loss.
Steve Watercolor memories of the way.
I have total confidence in Mike. Total confidence in Mike McCoy and staff.
I didn't say Mike McCoy at all.
And the Cardinals look like they're confused. David Johnson confused. So is Chase Edmonds. They're all looking to the sideline, and they have to call a timeout. Great start.
All of a sudden, you lose a few games, and you're the village idiot.
To be honest with you, he reminds me of B.A.
Does he?
Because he's kind of a
Forgot about our guy, Jermaine Gresham, at the end of that. Kind of a bleep. And we heard some of that as some of the press conferences got a little testy during the end of Mike McCoy's reign. Look.
But it's amazing, too, now that this has come to fruition, to hear, I mean, the total confidence phrase, which was, you know, put in air quotes by a lot of Cardinal fans over the last couple of weeks, that's not too long ago. That was like 2 weeks ago. You go from total confidence to out of a job in 2 weeks. That's an indication of how dire this situation
is.
Oh,
yeah.
And how much pressure is on Steve Wilks and this coaching staff to make things happen. And now it falls into the lap of Byron Leftwich, who might be very promising. A lot of good things said about him. He does have ties to the Bruce Arian regime, which right now just from the outside looks like a plus. Because of the way this season has gone. But, man, you want to talk about a daunting task. Holy moly.
Good gravy, what an arduous task. Yeah. They got the 49ers coming in. I guess you can look. That's a bright spot. Could be worse.
Yeah, who's the game after the bye? Off the top of your head, do you know?
Kansas City?
Oh, no.
Is it?
Let's
find out. I might be wrong.
Let me double check here. The game after.
What number did Walker Buehler wear again?
Yeah, that's after the bye at Kansas City.
Wow. I'm good.
Walker Buehler, number 72.
Oh, it's
Walker
like...
Buehler. So there's some strategy here, too.
Okay.
Let's say Mike McCoy. Maybe it's a godsend that they were so inept offensively and they had to call a timeout on their second play. And they had 2 pick-sixes in the first quarter. And they couldn't convert on 3rd down. And they couldn't run the ball. And they couldn't catch the ball. Because if they showed improvement last night and there was a temptation, right, maybe we're going in the right direction. And then you go to San Francisco, maybe there's a little bit more of a temptation. And then afterwards, you're going to Arrowhead to take on Kansas City, where you don't have any wiggle room offensively to slip up or not be productive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Jared Carlin, you're about to do a very important public service.
Yes, you are.
On a day in which we have been running hot, cooking with oil for three...
On a day? How about a season?
Yeah, two. 3.5 hours. We are going to turn this funny. People need
no
to laugh
pressure.
Now, Jared. Oh, he's waving me off. Look at he's waving me. You know why he's waving me off? Because he ain't done with his sports kebab yet. But it's coming up next.
It's being revised and updated. It's up-to-the-minute stuff with Jared Carlin. That's next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Need to lighten it up a little bit. I'm dancing. All right, back to being Eeyore.
When was the last time you went karaoke singing, Vinny?
Like a month ago.
Wow. Okay.
I'll just pop in.
What
song? I'll treat the. Sometimes I don't remember. The last karaoke song I sang. I believe it was a duet, Summer Lovin' from Greece.
Who'd you sing it with?
Some guy. Sanders and Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com. After Thursday night's losses, which team will get back into the win column first? ASU or the Arizona Cardinals? It's going to sound weird when I give my thoughts. I'll let you cast the vote, but my thought is the Cardinals win before ASU does.
Because they might beat the 49. Yeah, that's a good
ASU's
point.
ASU's going on the road to USC.
Yeah.
And then they got Utah after that. And you can't win in the Pac-12 with 13 points a night, so. You feel good about the Cardinals?
I feel terrible about the Cardinals, but I think you bring up a good point, and that is if they've got a chance to win a game the rest of the season, It's their next one.
We're in the minority. 86% say ASU. You can cast your vote. It's today's Anderson Ford poll question on the front page of ArizonaSports.com.
It's sports news skewered. The sports kebab.
Jarrett, like Bickley said, the weight of the city is on your shoulders right now. They need to be entertained.
Yes, they do. Well, they've come to the right place, baby. Because this is the sports kebab brought to you by Paradise Ridge Dentistry. We don't just inject Novocaine, we inject fun. Text tooth to 620-620 to find out more about Paradise Ridge Dentistry. And yes, I am here to distract you from the unpleasantness of sports in the valley. I'm here to ease your pain, to calm you down. The sports kebab is the radio version of Canada legalizing marijuana. Did you hear this?
Yes.
Marijuana is officially legal in Canada now, and I say good. Finally, those damn Canadians will relax and have a laid-back, happy-go-lucky attitude. Seriously, imagine Shane Doan using legal pot.
Ooh, I'm sorry I harshed your mellow man. Ooh, give me some more poutine.
Now, there's all this stuff, of course, to distract us in the valley. It is a big day. As Donald Trump is in town, that's something to distract us. Now, I don't get political here. I leave that to people like Mark Russell or Mort Saul, or another reference from 60 years ago. But I...
Mort Saul!
One thing I do is I comment on people's appearance occasionally. And Trump has a unique look with that fake tan and that MAGA hat. It's a ton of orange with a little red on top, you know. Kind of like the stands at State Farm Stadium last night. Yeah, lots of Broncos fans at the Thursday night game last night, and they got to see quite a performance. The Cardinals are struggling, and it sucks today because I believe the hype. I thought the Cardinals would win 10 games, still possible, by the way, for them to go 10-6, but I've seen... That doesn't look like it's going to happen. I've seen better predictions from the naval topographer who charted the Titanic's course. And I believe the talk. And the Cardinals did a lot of talking this season. And today, they dropped the mic.
Oh.
Specifically, Mike McCoy.
That's boo.
Okay. Yeah, after getting embarrassed by Denver last night, the Cardinals released their offensive coordinator, meaning that for the second year in a row, the Broncos got Mike McCoy fired midseason.
Yes, they did.
And I don't like it when people lose their jobs. I never like to see someone lose their job, except for when the ESPN fired Curt Schilling. But normally, I don't like it. It's hard to defend Mike McCoy, though. It's hard to defend him. His run play calling, just not creative. I mean, he went to the middle more than Jimmy Eat World during an encore. I mean, McCoy claimed he would be innovative, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying he was full of crap, but last night Von Miller kicked him. He kicked their ass. Okay, that he wasn't good and that joke wasn't good.
And the delivery was worse.
Proving the old adage, you can't spell McCoy without oi!
Oi!
So Mike McCoy gone on the heels of Ryan McDonough being fired. Recently, Arizona sports team have relieved more people of their duties than Exilax.
Oh, boy.
But yes, it's that kind of day.
Let me stop for a second.
Yeah.
You can't spell or you can't say McCoy without oi, that's quality. That's a great joke.
Thank you. I love, I love jokes that resonate three jokes down the line.
Yeah, too bad it was sandwiched between the other two.
Yeah.
He's far from alone, though. Because Josh Rosen, also not so good last night, was he?
Oy.
Not so good. Watching the game, I kept waiting for a story to come out that Rosen recently visited an enchanted gypsy arcade machine and switched bodies with Nathan Peterman. So hopefully things get better there. And let's get positive, because for one brief shining day in the Valley, it was fun to be a Phoenix sports fan. The Suns looked awesome in their opening game. And not just that, but did you see who was in attendance? NBA commissioner and cartoon worm who lives in an apple, Adam Silver.
Now that
was in the building.
That is perfect.
Have you seen?
That's what he looks like. That is exactly what he looks like.
Have you seen? So you've seen Adam Silver. You've seen this character, right?
Oh, who?
He looks like.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like if Willem Dafoe melted. He's some. Adam Silver somehow looks like he's always slimy and always incredibly dried out at the same time. He looks like the only reason he was at Talking Stick Resort Arena was because someone lured him there with a trail of Reese's Pieces.
Oh, boy.
Adam Silver phoned home. Then there was the play in the court. Boy, the Suns looked good. How about that Devin Booker taking over in the fourth quarter? Devin Booker was so hot.
How hot was he?
He was so hot, he just broke up with Pete Davidson. And how about DeAndre Ayton? Oh, great debut. Suns fans already want to build a statue for him. And that should be easy, because they can just use his play on defense as an inspiration.
Oh.
So, this is sort of a depressing stat, but to give you a contextual example of where we are in the Valley, the Suns scored 47 points in the first quarter on Wednesday. The Cardinals scored 47 points in the first quarter of the season in four games. And finally, I'll leave you on this. Dwight Howard missed the opening of the season. Did you see why?
Yes,
this is true. He injured his butt.
Yes.
Injured his butt, apparently. When he tried to remove his head from it. That can be a tricky operation.
There's a lot to be said between the correlation between play calling for an offensive coordinator and deciding what joke to end on with a
That's a good point. And that was a run up the middle on third and five?
That was a handwritten joke that I wrote right before the break, because I thought, man, that's a zinger to end on.
Here's what I want to end on. Super 70 Sports just tweeted out a picture of Manny Sanguian. We got to do this.
No.
Richie Zisk, Al Oliver, Richie Habna. Come on, help me out.
Frank Tavares. Willie Stargell. Don Clendenin.
Oh, that's a good one. Rennie Stennett. Dave Parker.
You're not going to throw in your old
John
standby?
Candelaria.
George Forster.
George Forster. All right, now we're done. Go to break.
Jarrett, the sports kebab every week with Jarrett Carlin at Jarrett GC on Twitter. JARRETTGC. Coming up, I teased it earlier. We're going to get into this. Where did last night's loss rank in the all-time painful memories of the Phoenix sports fan? We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Sometimes the song of the day ties together perfectly, and this is one of those days. This is Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
Great local band.
Yep. Our guy, Zach Lynn, drummer for the band, one of the greatest dudes, great on Twitter.
Great Cardinal fan.
Even though he's never asked my band to open for his band. I thought by now he'd have hooked this up. I really do.
Are you done
I'm
over there?
I'm kidding. Kind of.
Don't do it, Zach. Anyhow.
Oh!
The name of this song is Clarity.
Come on, Wolfley loves my band. You don't have to diss my band.
I don't diss your band. Who's supported your band more on this station than me?
Nobody.
Thank you.
Nobody.
The name of this song is Clarity, which was one of the buzzwords from the Steve Wilkes press conference, which we carried live for you today at 12:45 or so. And There's go ahead.
It's not the mere fact of making it easier. And I told Byron this morning. Josh is a very smart and intelligent guy. He can handle a lot. I think it's clarity. That's what we need. And we didn't have that. You know, we got to have clarity in exactly what we're doing in certain situations. So, therefore, that's where the thinking comes in. So, it's not a mere fact of him being smart. He's very intelligent and can pick up a lot. But we got to make sure we have clarity across the board on how
we it's like fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And the reason why this ties together so much is because we mentioned Zach Lind from Jimmy Eat World is such a big Cardinals fan. And one of the things that kept me sane during the first 6 weeks of the season was Zach's weekly tweets attacking the visor of Mike McCoy.
Oh, the
so
funniest.
He's got to be just over the moon right now. His last tweet 4 hours ago said, McCoy was his own worst enemy. He stayed true to the visor and he paid the price. Leftwich wears a hat, so let's all get prepared for the greater offensive output.
And I think for the first time ever, they got a shout-out in the Sports Kebab, too.
Yeah, it's been like a whole half hour of Jimmy Eat World here on 98.7
wow,
FM.
That's
Arizona
outstanding.
Sports Station. Now, you said earlier off the air, maybe I'm speaking out of school
okay.
And throwing you
ahead.
Under the bus
no,
by
it's
saying
fine.
This.
It's fine.
You prefer wearing a visor over a hat.
I do. Yeah, it's because I got so much hair, man. What are you laughing at? Hats don't always fit well on my head. That's all I'm saying.
I will agree with that. I have a weird head for hats, too.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of hats. I don't wear a lot of them because they do make me itchy, and I think a visor would rectify that, but I just don't want to look like a guy who wears a visor.
You don't
want to
look
ever.
Like Mike McCoy.
Ever.
Right, right.
I had a visor in high school when the whole beach volleyball thing hit big.
I didn't know that they were uncool. I didn't know they were in cool at all, to be honest. I don't wear them all the time.
I think that's pretty consistent with guys who wear visors, is they don't know that they're not cool.
That's pretty good.
All right, we've been talking about this. I shared a story earlier this year, and I remember talking to Todd Walsh about it from Fox Sports Arizona on the air, about the worst day I had as an Arizona sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a day early in the Cardinals' stay in the Valley. It was either 89 or 90. I think it was 1990. It was a Saturday afternoon game at Sun Devil Stadium, nationally televised, December, cold, gray day. The Cardinals were terrible, and the Denver Broncos were the opponent.
Okay.
And the stadium was filled with Broncos fans. There was over 70,000 people there. I would estimate there were 60,000 Bronco fans. It was crazy.
Mm.
And last night, even though I wasn't there, hearing the descriptions from people like you who was there and others that were there, and I've heard from a lot of people on the Cardinal side, upset Cardinal fans, upset at their own for getting rid of their tickets. I have a feeling like last night, because of the lopsided nature of the game, from the first minute on, felt a lot like that day. The difference being, Bic, that, again, before the Cardinals moved out to the West Valley and got their new stadium,
mm-hmm.
This did not feel fully like an NFL city. I don't think the Cardinals were playing on an equal playing field with the rest of the league. And since 2006, what we saw last night has been unprecedented.
Yeah.
Not only in the caliber of the beatdown that they took on their home field, but by the invasion of, in conjunction with the invasion of opposing fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining there was a lot of people that are Cardinals faithful that were there last night that felt that the way that I did that Saturday afternoon. And that's not good. I know you used the term rock bottom in your column last night in the hours
in
after the
new
game.
Era.
In the new era. Yeah. I agree with you. This is it. So Mike McCoy pays the price. Byron Leftwich is the guy. There is truly only one way to go. And if that doesn't occur in the last nine ball games for the Cardinals, it's going to be somebody new, I think, helming that direction forward.
I think you're right. I do. And I think that until then, I wouldn't be surprised if a new defensive coordinator gets thrown into the mix. We'll see. We'll see what the defense does in the coming weeks.
But how often does a team fire both their coordinators?
I'm talking about next year. If they're going to keep Steve Wilks an additional year, it's going to be, by the way, Steve, say hello to your new defensive coordinator. And by the way, he's reporting to me. So give him what you need. Okay. thumbs up, double thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. I think this is symbolically Steve Keim taking back control over the organization because some people think his head should be on the line. Again, I like Steve Keim. I think he's done enough to warrant a longer leash, but you bring up a compelling point. He's tried consistently to fix that offensive line, and they've not been able to do it.
And that's not a failure on his part in the evaluation solely. It's partially on the players. It's partially on those position coaches that are supposed to get those guys up to snuff.
Teams like the Patriots make cobbling together really good offensive lines look easy. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either.
I don't know how they do it.
Especially when, you know, this team won 13 games three seasons ago with an offensive line that looked pretty formidable. And those guys are gone except for Mike Iupati.
I know. Sad.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Kurt Warner for joining us. Thanks to Albert Breer for joining us as well. We appreciate it. A lot more coming up with Burns and Gambo today.
They have Devin Booker on today.
Yes, Devin Booker coming up 3:15.
Devin Booker, John Havlicek.
Fresh off of his 35-point season. I always equate Devin Booker
I don't know why that happened. I'm sorry.
We're out of here. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. One more thing to put a smile on your face, hopefully, before the week ends.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you again for allowing me to participate in the greatest talk radio show ever.
He's Dan Bickley. I'm that other guy.
Don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch. What a moron.
I think you're both idiots.
Okay. They got smoked by a guy named Danielle.
Haven't had this many issues at the Gap since they didn't have slacks in a 32 waist.
Bad. The worst part of weddings. I mean, other than actually being married to somebody.
Have you ever read Dan Bickley's books?
Oh, God, no.
A loss is a loss.
A cost.
I mean, you expect that stuff from Gambo, but not a guy who gets appointed to Monday Night Football. Booner Baker, Andy Lee, the punter,
Marquez Valdez-Scantling,
Equanimeous St. Brown.
You might be a dirty player,
if.
I think this was the third or fourth best debut in the history of debuts in the NBA. I played like a Renaissance man with the sun shining on the Mount Vesuvius.
How much fun is that going to be? Listening to Wolfie go...
Right?
The fact that this kid can never go to a Patriots game again, good.
Is his name Fitzy or Sully, though, is what I was wondering.
Benintendi makes great ice cream.
His teammate Mookie Haagen-Dazs.
Nah, see? It could be some beef jerky. See?
My stomach just made a noise that I'm pretty sure is not human. I think it was my stomach.
Yeah, I actually heard it from all the way over here.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. I was like, whoa.
I heard it from all the way over here. You're not even on microphone.
Can you please scratch my belly instead and stop yelling at me? George Forster! No more blind optimism spoon-fed this guy.
Did you get that on tape, Jarrett?
You got that, Jarrett? No more. No more. Had enough.
That one's going to pop up again.
Had enough. Why can't you just let me have my moments of farcical humor?